Yesterday morning, some of you men missed a real blessing. We had a very good turnout, I think one of the best turnouts that we've had at our men's prayer breakfast up to this time. I think we're 20 of us that were there yesterday, and we'd urge if some of you weren't able to make it yesterday, make it a priority in your life to come to this. It's a real blessing. Our brother Phil Parsons has started a little series on the Ten Commandments with us. And yesterday we were talking about the second commandment. And that commandment is what? You shall have no other gods before me. And in our discussion, very early in our discussion, we were talking about the fact that there's probably no one in our society that worships idols today, in our Western society anyway. There may be a few that do, but we don't see idols as we walk around, as we go into people's homes and so forth. But the comment was made that there are other idols that come into our hearts and take us away from worshiping the true God. And I think it was our brother Joe Viola that brought up that one of those idols in our heart is the material things that you and I enjoy in this country. And truly, we are rich. You may not think that you're rich. You're worried about how you're going to pay your bills from day to day. But as we were thinking about these boxes, there are just some little things in here that are going to people in the third world. They have never seen anything like. Maybe there's a little pair of scissors or something that one of you has put in one of those boxes. Maybe there's a box of crayons or something like that. These kids have never seen before. And they're going to be amazed as they see these things and use them. Things that we take for granted. And this morning, I want to talk to you from the Word of God about stuff. Stuff. You may not think that you are wealthy, but you've got a lot of stuff, I'm sure, as you look at your life. You've got a lot of clutter in your house. A lot of things. As I look at my house, I try to sometimes wade through things. I've got papers spread all over everything and books all over everywhere. And I'm a wealthy man. I'm going to Africa. Jane and I are going to Africa in 10 days' time on Thanksgiving Day. And we're going to go to see some people. We're going to be in some people's huts, which may have a door off its hinges, just a little grass hut, grass-thatched hut, with possibly maybe a little table in the middle of the room and a couple of chairs if they're fortunate. And if they're fortunate enough to have one set of clothing and maybe another set of clothes for Sunday when they go to meeting, they consider themselves to be well off. If they have food to put on the table day by day, they consider themselves very fortunate. We have a lot of things here in this country. Our culture is obsessed with stuff, things, gadgets, gizmos. I have them. I got a cell phone on my belt here. I've got a couple of computers at home, a laptop computer and a desktop computer. There's a television that's fastened up on the wall in our office that never gets turned on, but it's there, and all kinds of other things. You know, we are rich. We have a lot of stuff, and sometimes we have bad attitudes about the stuff that we have as well. Somebody has said, I read a quote this past week, and I don't know who made it, but the man said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Does that sink in? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, I got thinking about that, and you know, we need to keep the main thing the main thing in our lives as well. We need, as believers, we need to know what the priority in life is. What is the first thing in our lives? Well, the Lord Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added to you. All the stuff then will be added to you. The disciples were concerned about following Jesus, what they were going to eat, what they were going to drink, what they were going to put on. And the Lord says, don't worry about that. Get your priorities straight. Put my kingdom first in your life and the righteousness of God, and I'll take care of the rest of those things. What is the priority in our lives? Sometimes I think that our society believes that the one who ends up with the most stuff in the end is the winner of the game. And that is not what the Lord Jesus teaches. The Lord talked a lot about stuff. He used the word mammon, which could be translated riches or wealth or just plainly stuff, the things of this world. And I want to look quickly at three passages of Scripture. Luke chapter 12, first of all, gives us a story about the rich fool. A couple of weeks ago, Jane and I were out in Michigan, and one day my brother-in-law and my brother and myself piled into my brother-in-law's pickup, and we headed out to go to Shipshawana, Indiana, which is kind of right in the middle of Amish country, but it's become a huge commercial center now. There's a car museum down there, a Hudson Car Museum. Some of you don't even know what a Hudson car was, cars that were made from about 1909 to about the middle 1950s. And this guy down there, he talk about stuff. That's a man that had invented a special sprinkler system for irrigation systems. He made millions of dollars. He's got about $5 million invested in antique Hudson cars, all of them totally restored. Talk about stuff. That was quite amazing. As we were headed down there, my brother was talking in the truck. He was sitting in the middle, and I was on the right, and my brother-in-law was driving. And Walt was talking about all of his stuff down there. He said, man, I've got to build a bigger barn. And it clicked with me right away, and I turned to him, and I said, you know, there's a story in the Bible about that. And he just kind of looked at me a bit. But here we are at that story, this rich man. Look at that in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. There's a man that comes out of the crowd that the Lord is talking to, and he tells the Lord, he said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, verse 13. And the Lord refused to get involved in that argument, but he said something very significant. In verse 15, he said to them, those that were listening, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the stuff he possesses. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, stuff. And then the Lord goes on to give this parable of the rich fool. I kind of wonder if it really is just a made up story, but I think maybe the Lord had someone in mind there. That's beside the point. The ground of a certain man, a rich man, yielded plentifully. And you know the story of this farmer who did very well. He must have had a series of crops that were exceptional, and he had no place to store them. A good farmer stores his crops until the price goes up. And I'm sure that that's what this man was thinking in his heart. And he says, what I need to do now is to tear down my barn. It's not big enough to keep all of the grain and all of the other things I've reaped so that I can keep them until the price goes up. And so he says that. He's going to say to his soul in verse 19, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have many goods shut up for many years. Laid up for many years, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He had a lot of stuff. And he thought that he had enough to last him the rest of his life, to provide for himself for the rest of his life. But God required his soul of him that particular night. Then the Lord says in verse 22, he's speaking to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." And he talks about the birds of the air and so forth. But he says some significant things a little further down too. Quickly, verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. That's the priority of the life that the Lord Jesus wants his disciples to be following. Then verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your stuff is, there your heart will be also. Don't allow the treasures of life, the stuff of life, to become the main preoccupation of your life. I need this. I need that. And we just keep piling things on until we're weighted down with all of those things. Satan's business is to divert the attention of believers from the main thing. Let's keep the main thing, in our lives. And then quickly to Luke chapter 18, I want to look quickly at another story that the Lord Jesus gave in Luke chapter 18. In verse 18, "A certain ruler asked the Lord Jesus, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" A good question, isn't it? And look at the way the Lord answered him. "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother.' And the man replied to the Lord," he said, "'all these things I have kept from my youth.'" But the Lord Jesus knew that there was something else that was holding this man back. He knew that there was another God in this man's life. Verse 22, "When Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that stuff you've got and distribute it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.'" And we read that the man went away sorrowful because, why? Because he had an awful lot of stuff. He was rich, and he was unwilling to give up his riches to follow the Lord Jesus. I wonder if the Lord would speak to me or to you today and says, sell everything you've got. Get rid of it. It's a stumbling block to you in your life. Sell it. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. Would I be willing to do that? What a tragic story as far as this rich man was concerned. Riches stood in the way of his obtaining eternal life. Certainly, if he had given up everything that he had as the Savior wanted and followed him, his needs would have been met, and he probably would have been mightily used of the Lord. This guy's main thing was get all you can all you get. And that's the attitude of many people today and most of our society. Get all you can and hang on to it. Get all the stuff you can and hang on to it. But where is that rich ruler today? Unless somehow his name has not been mentioned as one of those who repented of his sin and did follow the Lord, he is in hell today. Then turning back to chapter 16, chapter 16 of the Gospel of Luke, and here we have a couple of stories that the Lord Jesus tells us about a couple of people, although I wondered if he's telling us about the same man in the two halves of chapter 16 here. We have the parable of the unjust steward. Verse 1, "He also said to his disciples, 'There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods.'" This is the parable of the unjust steward. And I think most of you are probably familiar with this story. The steward, he was a manager, an administrator, maybe he was a money manager. Some of you may have a money manager or a financial planner that you talk to. Well, this fellow was a manager for a very wealthy man. man who had a lot of stuff. And he was accused of misusing the goods that were committed to his trust by the rich man. And so the boss calls him and says, that's it, buddy. You haven't been faithful. You're done. You're toast. Out of here. Well, very quickly, the story goes, the man went to his boss's creditors and asked them what they owed the master. The first one owed 100 measures of oil, and he says, sit down quick and write 50. And so he takes the 50, of course, and goes back and gives to the master. And then the second one that he goes to, what do you owe? Oh, I owe 100 measures of oil. Well, sit down quick and write 80. And so he takes the 80 and goes back to his boss with it. I've always had a problem with that story. It's been a difficult one for me to understand. I never really understood it until I finally realized that in verse 8 that it's not the Lord Jesus that commends this unjust steward. It's the master. The master of this unjust steward commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. I've got a problem with my Bible. I've got one of those red letter editions, and I've got one signature that the red ink is very light, and I'm having a hard time reading if you see that I'm stumbling over it. But here, it's very hard for me to read. But the master commended his steward. He got part of what was owed to him back before he fired this man from his job. And the master is the one who commends his disciple. The Lord does not commend the injustice of this steward, but the Lord teaches from it. He picks the story up from here. He picks this thing up from here, and he teaches us some very important things. And let me try to read here if I can see the type again. Verse 9, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous stuff. Make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now, what's the Lord Jesus trying to say by this? The Lord is teaching his disciples how to use the unrighteous mammon, how to use the wealth, the riches, the stuff that's been committed to them. He doesn't necessarily tell us to get rid of it, but he wants us to use what he gives us for his honor and for his glory. He says, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. Now, this unjust steward, he'd made friends with a couple of men, hadn't he? Because he took less that was owed to his master and gave it to the master. He made friends with those people so that when everything failed, when he was out of his job, he'd have a couple of friends that he could go to. He was too proud to beg. He was a white-collar worker that was ashamed to go out and dig ditches, but he knew that he could go to these two friends and get some help from them as well. So the Lord is saying that we can make ourselves friends through unrighteous mammon. How can we do that? How do we do that? I think it's by investing in the Lord's work. The Lord has entrusted us with a certain amount of riches, and we are to use that for the honor and glory, for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. We could lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. How do we do that? Well, maybe it's by buying Bibles, for people who don't have Bibles and see that they're distributed. Maybe it's by buying meals for unfortunate men and women. We just got a thank you letter from the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission for the money that we have given to them to provide meals for the hungry. And on Thanksgiving, there's going to be a Thanksgiving meal served by the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. I believe it's next Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, at the Allen Community Church in Asbury Park. But it's being served by the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission. Those people are going to be cared for. They're going to get a good meal that day. That's using the unrighteous mammon, the unrighteous stuff, the unrighteous riches for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. I want to read you the words of a song written by Ray Bolts. And if I recall, maybe Janice, did you sing this song, Thanks, one day? Was it you that sang that song? I knew it was either you or Marilyn. And I remembered that song, Thank You. Ray Bolts says, I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. That's the right use, isn't it, of the unrighteous mammon? Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry? You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. One by one they came, far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around. Great is your reward. That's a meaningful song. A lot of the songs are written today I don't care too much for, but that is a very meaningful song. And it tells us how we can lay up treasure in heaven, how we are to use the stuff that the Lord gives to us. We have a responsibility to use that for his honor and for his glory. As you go on down in Luke chapter 16 to verse 13, I'm skipping over some things. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and stuff. Choose today. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve stuff? Verse 14, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, they loved riches. They also heard all these things, and they derided the Lord Jesus. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to the sight of God. Now, what's the Lord Jesus talking about? He's talking about riches. He's talking about wealth. He's talking about stuff in people's lives. He's telling these Pharisees, look, you're lovers of money. You like to be men pleasers. You're doing what everybody else in the crowd does. But what is highly esteemed among men, it may be esteemed among you Pharisees, but it's an abomination to God. The amassing of wealth is an abomination in the sight of God. We're to use responsibly what the Lord gives us for him. I want to skip over a couple of things. I wish I had time to talk about verses 16, 17, and 18 because that's all a part of this, but I want to skip down to verse 19. The second thing that's given here, and we're going to have to go quickly. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in hell, he raised up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Once again, we're talking about a rich man here. And all that we know about this rich man is stated for us in about a dozen words here. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. How would you like to have that as the epitaph on your tombstone? He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. What kind of a picture does this give you? Here was a man who obviously lived for stuff. He lived for the things of this world, and he was very successful at it. He made himself a lot of money, and he spent it upon himself. He spent it upon self-glorification. And here is a poor beggar, Lazarus by name. Lazarus' name means God is my help. God is my help. And it's a good thing that God was his help, because the rich man obviously didn't do anything to alleviate the suffering of this poor man. We have a description of Lazarus in the flesh. He desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Full of sores was laid at his gate. He obviously had a lot of ulcerated sores that were oozing a lot of stuff that was pretty putrefying. I can imagine that there must have been a stench attached to this man as well. He was probably lame as well, because it said he was laid at the gate of the rich man every day. Obviously, someone had to carry him there and put him down there. And obviously, he didn't get everything that he needed. Do all rich men go to hell? Is it simply by being rich that you go to hell? No, that's certainly not true. That's not what we get from reading the scriptures, do we? I can think of one man in the New Testament that's named. A little epistle to a man by the name of Philemon. It was a man who obviously had a lot of this world's goods, but he used them for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good things spoken about Philemon. Where did I write it down? I got more notes here. I got enough notes here to go on for about another hour and a half. But never mind. We're just about done. It said of Philemon that he refreshed the hearts of the saints. And Paul also tells Philemon, he says, prepare me a guest room, because I hope to come to you shortly. And we can see through a little bit that's said about Philemon here, that here was a man who was obviously a wealthy man. He had a big home, obviously. He had a place where he could receive the Lord's people. And I wouldn't be surprised but what maybe the local assembly probably met in his home there in Colossae. But he's one who refreshed the hearts of the saints, and he was one who had his home and his stuff was available to the Lord's servants and to the Lord's people to care for them and to take care of them. In summing up then, what's my point? What's my point this morning in all of this? I trust that as we look at these thoughts about stuff, about riches, about wealth, about the priorities in our life, that we will, as the man said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep our priorities straight as believers in the Lord Jesus. Let's invest in the kingdom of God. Let's use the resources that we have. You may not think that you have much, but you have some, and let's use it to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And lest you think that I've been talking about good works this morning, yeah, we've been talking about good works that we're expected to perform, we as believers. I just want to throw out this morning Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace, let's not forget this, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation. Are you saved this morning? Do you know that you're saved? I hope that you're sure that you're saved this morning. If you aren't, I'd like to talk to you. And some of the other brothers and sisters this morning would be more than happy to talk to you too. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, make sure of it this morning. And if you are saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, what's my point is that we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Keep our focus fixed. Don't let the things of this world pull us away from Christ. Let's give to the Lord. Let's give our lives, first of all, to the Lord. And then let's use what he gives to us to bring honor and glory to his name. Let's keep the main thing, and live for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word again. We thank you for these examples, Lord Jesus, that you've given to us. You talked a lot about money. You talked a lot about mammon. You talked about riches and wealth and stuff. Lord, you were concerned. We see your life. As we look at your earthly life, Lord Jesus, we look at you as the one who said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We look at your life, how you had, you laid aside all of that when you came into this world. You went about doing good. You went about healing. You went about forgiving sin. You went about calling men and women to give their lives to you, to follow you. Think of this rich ruler. Sell all you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Certainly that's the most important thing in our lives, is to come and follow you. Help us to follow faithfully. Lord, you know the desires of our hearts. Most, if not all of us here this morning, are believers, Lord, and we want to be pleasing to you in our lives. So help us to keep our focus on yourself, upon serving you, about serving other people as well, making sure that needs are met as we can do it. Give you thanks now for this time together. We give you thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.